Charles is no longer in charge of CBS Demons Infest Randomized Dungeons, and we ring in 2007, this week in 302010. 302010, here we go again. Analyzing decades, sitting with our friends, those with different days. And there's so much to say. Happy New Year! It is the first 2017 sort of inclusive episode of 302010, your weekly look back at what happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, that exact week. This is the range of December 30th, 7-day range, into January 5th, which...
Typically not a great time for media, but
yeah,
let's do this.
Spanning 2 years.
a weird period, so there's not a whole lot to talk about, but because... Yes, this is normally the time of the year where most of the world just goes, well, let's pick it up in like
returning gifts. Yeah.
The January 10th. Like, everyone just take a nap until then. So, not a lot happening, but...
Got a lot of bowl games to watch.
Yes.
Football.
Leftovers. Football!
We'd normally be talking about 86, 96, and 06, but we are in a transition now into 87, 97, and 07. I'm one of your hosts, Brett Elston.
I am Chris, and I'm praying for a peaceful transition of dates.
I'm Dave in charge. Hey. Dave Rudden.
Speaker of the House, Diana Goodman.
And in news this week, we always start in 1986, and again, we're veering a little in 87, but for what it's worth, we are a year old. The show is officially...
This wasn't in 1986.
This the show can officially vote.
9 years so we can talk about ourselves.
Yes, we're on our way. we started the show January 1st, I think the first episode posted, I guess, on the 7th. Mm-hmm. We looked back at a movie called Black Moon Rising in 86. We talked about the Seinfeld Rye episode. We're giving the Rye old bag.
Jerry Seinfeld in a rocket car.
A rocket car. But this show was unlocked thanks to our pals at patreon.com/lasertime. You guys stepped up over a year ago and contributed enough money to keep the show and Lasertime as a whole in motion, and that's a full year in the bank in the bag.
We are supported by listeners like you.
We have a show every day of the week because of that, and we even try and offer folks exclusives for helping us out, so you patrons have an exclusive 302010 wrap up for the years of 86, 96, and 06, starring all of us.
Yes.
And Conan O'Brien.
In other news in 86, the most popular baby name since we're ending the year.
Diana, will you know about this?
I do.
What was the website you started?
Not without my handbag.com, where for many years I made fun of bad baby names
bad
and
baby
their
names.
Terrible trends, and I've given it up because the war is lost and names are horrible.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Zaydens.
My future daughter, Smurfette.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like, you can name kids whatever, but I will never like anyone named Dakota.
Mm. Nope.
Sorry.
Nope.
I can't. It's like that, and you got to pick a name I can't trust, and I don't trust Dakotas. Or
name yourself after any states. How about that?
Sorry, Indiana Jones.
I'm not
Robert California.
I'm not a fan of Cody's. I could learn to trust a Cody because of Final Fight, but outside of that, it's tough.
What about Cody Rhodes, man?
He is a wrestler.
Yes.
but he's also now he's the American Nightmare. Anyway, moving on into movies. 1986. Oh, sorry, Jesus.
Yeah.
Movie names. Baby names: Jessica, Ashley, and Amanda for girls.
Yeah, there were
names.
A lot of those.
These are very set your watch by names, by the way. 86 boys. Oh, come on.
What?
These are literally the three names the most people I've ever met in my life have. these three names.
Michael?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
David?
No.
Jim. James. Jimmy Jones.
I think more biblical.
Judas.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Michael, Christopher, and Matthew for boys. The same as the last 2 years. People I've ever met in my life. Mike's, Matt's, Chris's.
100%.
Yep.
The first name was supposed to be my name. The second name is my name.
Yep.
I was born in 1980.
Christopher Ashley Antes.
No, it was supposed to be Michael, and then my doctor didn't show up, but a doctor named Christopher did. So they named me a different name.
There you go. Ashley, gender neutral name, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's become a girl's name.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. I was thinking of Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Both two of the three popular girl names were Simpsons. Jessica Simpson and Ashley Simpson.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow. They tie it all together. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Movies this week. Not a
movie.
Movie this week. Apparently, Wisdom came out on New Year's Eve in 1986 with Emilio Estevez and Demi Moore.
Yes. Hello. Emilio Estevez's directorial debut.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That man's at work.
Was that a modern-day yet teenaged Robin Hood? And it's here to play that.
Yo, Estevez.
They told me that when I grew up, I could be whatever I wanted to be, and I believed it.
Demi Moore.
All across the country, people are living vicariously through us. We've given people hope.
Lovers.
Why do I love you so much? Beats the hell out of me.
Those are Shudder's, like, photograph. Yeah,
even Emilio Estevez calls this a vanity project. What's really funny, again, it's never been officially released on DVD, and it's not available on YouTube, unlike a lot of movies we'll talk about. But it's notable for its ending, because the ending, he's a Robin Hood character who's robbing to give to poor, out-of-work people in a rural area. He dies in a hail of bullets.
Whoa.
And then he wakes up at the beginning of the film.
On a steel horse he rides? Oh boy, great.
So it wasn't even it wasn't even just a dream, it was just a daydream. The whole movie.
That is lame.
The critics were not kind to it for that.
I get how you can be, as a storyteller, you could be tricked into that. Like, what a great twist, though. But it's like, yeah, but as a reader, I'm like, so nothing.
Wasted my time.
Yeah.
But part of me can accept, like, yeah, but the story that was told was still great. Mm-hmm. But there's just something so cheaty about, and it didn't happen. You're like, well, technically none of this happened because it's a book or it's a movie and it didn't count anyway because it didn't happen in real life. But it's still
Wizard of Oz's fault.
There's some icky thing about it.
At least Wizard of Oz had, the people she met before the dream were all there, and that's fun. But
sure.
This had none of that. The movie negates itself.
Yeah, that is weird.
Terminator Genesis. Fuck you, Terminator Genesis.
But that's really it.
That's the movie.
That's the movie this week. Mm-hmm. But again, 302010.net, that's the words. 302010.net. Mm-hmm. You can find the entire year, 2016, week by week. Looked through that
February.
Sucker. Oh, yeah. TV, though, this week, we're getting into 87 now.
Yes. So a bit of a light week, but a couple things worth noting. January 3rd, 1987... second season of Charles in Charge debuts.
I like this show so much.
Yeah, if you want to play the intro, I can give you a little...
He's in charge of me.
Yes. So, this... lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me. Like he's one of the family. So, for season two, the big change is that he was no longer part of the first family because the show went from CBS to syndication. Mm. So, the new episodes aired in syndication now. The first season had one family, and all the kids were brunette. And then he went to a new family in season two. And these kids were all blonde. One of the kids was Nicole Eggert, who would later be on Baywatch.
Right. I was so attracted to the women on the show.
Yeah.
Before I knew how to be attracted
to anybody.
Well,
it's weird. Like, I only watched the entire show in syndication.
Me too.
Yeah.
And in reruns. And I remember watching the first season, and I'm like, these kids are not... this is going to sound wrong. These kids are not attractive. Like, these are plain-looking kids. And then season two, it's like, oh, there's Nicole Eggert. She's going to be on Baywatch.
Here are gorgeous actor people.
Yeah, yeah. They're a lot more actor-y. Also joining the show this season is Ellen Travolta playing Charles's mother. The theme, actually, like, if you play the first season, it's somehow even more, like, laid back than that song.
Wow.
It's kind of...
I do remember watching this a lot, and... Yeah, like, I think I've told this story before, but, like, the syndication on our local Fox affiliate on Sundays would play, 2 hours of Charles in Charge on Sunday mornings.
That must have been how... I only saw it at my grandparents', but it was a lot of it at the same time.
And then it would always lean into every Sunday, Dune. And they and they called it Dune at Noon. And with commercials, that movie's 4 hours long.
Charles in Charge, Dune at Noon.
Dune at Noon, and then it was, like... Charles in Charge was either on before or after, but I was like, This had to have happened multiple times because I remember Dune at Noon so clearly.
Dune at Noon.
Anyway, that's my. I remember watching the show and kind of enjoying it. But.
I never watched this show, but I would hear all the time about how Williams went to my high school because the choir teacher, Mr. Odie, would not shut up about how Williams was in the choir. Now he's a big TV star. We're like, by the time I was in high school, it's like Charles in Charge is off the air.
Yeah.
That is sad and has been. Nobody cares.
Nobody
Shut
cares
up.
About Zapped.
Yeah. But did Scott Weiland ever get mentioned? No. No.
Oh, went to your high school
not.
As well?
Yes.
A lot of dead people, Diana.
Yeah, I know.
It was also weird that.
Well, this was back in about 1997, so.
That,
yeah, I'm old.
Like, this episode, I think the first episode may have had the original family in it. But it was weird because they moved out. Charles stayed at the same house with a new family inside of it.
Furniture?
Yeah, pretty much.
Who needs me to take care of them?
Yeah, it's just like, first family moved out. You need a new job. Hey, this new family needs a babysitter, too.
Was Charles a slave?
No.
Well, how did he get the... I totally forgot how he got the job. He's a babysitter,
he's
right?
He lives in the basement.
He's an
in
charge type.
he's a take charge kind of Charles.
He's an alpha man, man.
Yeah. Yes, like, fine.
I'm living in your house. I'm taking care of your kids.
I think he dated. No, I was going to say Elizabeth Shue, but
so
Kelly
the,
Preston
on the wiki when the series premiered, Charles had just taken a job with Stan and Jill Pembroke to take care of the three children. Mm-hmm. In exchange for his services, the Pembrokes provide him room and board and allow him to live downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Smart move, parents.
When the show returned in '87, where we are now. The Powell family was living at home, and the Pembrokes had moved to Seattle and had agreed to sublet the house, which included allowing Charles to continue living there. The
He's
family,
literally property.
What a contract.
The family retained Charles' services, and he became a caretaker for their three kids. Ellen's fall...
He was in charge of their days
just had
and
a stroke.
Blah.
He is now Apollo and the god of night.
And actually, since it was syndicated now... and networks could air it whenever they want. He was in charge of their days and their nights.
Ooh,
because
nice.
Before it was whenever. Only nights because it's CBS. You got to air it in primetime.
Charge whenever, wherever.
Yes.
Also out on TV this week.
January 5th, 1987. Remington Steele returns for its final season of only 6 episodes.
Aww.
That's how they denied him Bond?
And that is, yes. So
wow.
This season, it started late because it was a last minute pickup. And that pickup, as you mentioned, it's Pierce Brosnan was going to be named James Bond in 1987.
Yes, because the show Remington Steele was supposedly canceled.
Yeah.
And
which was a TV light Bond style
thing.
Yeah,
and behind the scene, and I'm paraphrasing that, like, the show was canceled, he was free to move on to go be the next Bond, and because now the public is talking about Pierce Brosnan, and they're like, well, fuck, well, let's capitalize and let's make some more Remington Steele. He was contractually obligated to do that, so it couldn't be Bond.
I want to say they were done by, like, March, and that's what kept him from being Bond for,
but that's,
like 7 or 8 years?
To his credit, that's how much they liked him.
Yeah, but...
Can you imagine
if he became Bond in 1987, we would have had way more, like, Brosnan Bonds.
It would have been stupider faster.
If this didn't happen, this would have changed the production line of all... Of all Bond movies,
first person shooters,
we would not have gotten GoldenEye.
All right.
I don't think timeline would not have unfolded the same way. We would not have GoldenEye.
The game,
and that's way more important than Remington Steele.
First person shooters on consoles would be completely different.
Totally.
Right now.
Yeah, like we would have got there eventually, but the genre as we know it would not be the same if Brosnan was.
I believe
was
we call this the Brosnan fly effect, where.
I guess. Was this also derail? Because this did derail Bond films, right? Like, GoldenEye 95 was the next one. Like,
was it?
No.
Was there another 80s one?
No, they had to go to Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton.
Right,
two?
But when was
two.
He? There are only two. Okay.
License to Kill?
Yeah, and Living Daylights.
Mm. Ooh, the song for Living Daylights. Oh, so good.
But like, if you smash those together, you have a really good Bond movie. Mm. Separately, they're both sort of like, got some good parts, I guess.
Speaking of video games, we're blowing through the 80s here. Rounding out 1986, we are technically on December 30th and 31st. Some noteworthy games that hit arcades this year, because, again, arcade dates, we've always said, are kind of hard to nail down and when to talk about them and when not. But numerous arcade games came out in 86 that you would probably know better, depending on your age, for their Nintendo NES counterparts.
Oh.
Such as these are games are in the arcade, Double Dribble, 720, the skateboarding game where eventually bees will kill you.
The weed number, man.
720 Rygar, which one of those games of the arcade version is very different from the home conversion. Super Sprint, that was in every bowling alley and pizza parlor where I was from.
That is like
a racing indie.
Low key, a game I would want to have the arcade cabinet for.
Because
it was so cool. It was a stand up cabinet with like three or four wheels.
Three steering wheels.
Super Sprint may have just been two. And then one was Iron Man, Ivan Stewart's Off Road. Then they put four wheels.
Super Sprint
on it.
Had four. I definitely four with Super Sprint.
Yeah, just Super Sprint or Off Road, where it's like,
yeah.
I love that look.
Oh, Off Road, yeah,
and that like people are racing together on the
same
thing.
Yeah, it was really fun. Like,
and that you could just spin those wheels forever,
as fast as you wanted, and it
no power steering.
Yeah,
and I remembered it wasn't this, but it was some game that had more of a bucket steering wheel, where it wasn't just a flat steering wheel, but it had like depth to it. And as a little kid, I would get a step stool and sit in it and hold it as hard as I could, and it would just spin me in a circle. I would sit in the bucket of the seat, and because I was just heavy enough to make it spin, but light enough not to tear the wheel off. Again, you probably played some of these in arcades or saw them, but you might have played them more on the NES. But that's really kind of it for games. Getting into music of 86, Rolling Stone magazine's 500 best album list that they published in 2003 does list eight albums from 1986.
Wow.
And we go into some of this in our Patreon thing,
The
wrap-up episode. But for what it's worth, we did talk about Master of Puppets, Paul Simon's Graceland, So by Peter Gabriel, The Queen Is Dead by The Smiths, Raising Hell by Run DMC, Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys, and In the Jungle Groove by James Brown.
Wow.
And Steve Earle, Guitar Town, is number 489 of 500.
That's still much more indicative of like what stood the test of time than the goddamn Grammys we went through for 86.
Yeah, that was a bunch of what. Mm-hmm. But you can find that full discussion by becoming a patron on patreon.com. So this time, we will head out of 86. Excuse me. 87.
87.
Well, 86 slash 87.
Slash 87. With Anthrax's I'm the Man, which debuted in the first week of 1987. Credited as one of the first rap metal songs, and is a parody song
all the better for it.
Making fun of the Beastie Boys, and is mostly a song of grating samples. It samples In a Big Country, it samples Master of Puppets, it samples numerous things, and this is not my memory of Anthrax at all, but I guess that's why it's a parody song. But we will endure this into the break, and when we come back this week, 1996/1997.
Yo, man, what's the matter with you?
I'll get it the next time. I mean,
Charlie! Beat the beat, the beat you beat!
The only thing hard is the smell of my feet.
So listen up, cause you might get dissed. Don't take no listen or take ya.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. This is Bob Mackey.
Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
And when you're done listening to this, we'd like you to check out Talking Simpsons. It's our chronological exploration of The Simpsons only on the Laser Time Podcast Network,
where we'll discuss why Barney is the MVP of Season 3.
Whatever you say, Mom!
When we try to figure out what every reference means.
Weren't you one of the little rascals?
And where we'll tell you how to avoid the poison donut.
There is a poisoned one, isn't there, Smithers?
No, sir. I discussed this with our lawyers. They consider it murder.
Damn their oily hides!
For all this and more, listen to Talking Simpsons every Wednesday at TalkingSimpsons.com or wherever you find your podcasts.
I brush my teeth, I put the cap back on. I know you hate it when I leave the light on. I pick up a cup and turn the sheets down and take a deep breath. Good look around, put on my PJs and hop in.
That is Jewel, You Were Meant for Me.
Oh, I thought that was Anthrax again.
Parentheses, I Was Meant for You.
Jewel, who killed it last year in the Rob Lowe roast.
She was so good. This was You Were Meant for Me was released as a single back in November, but it's all over the radio throughout 97.
Throughout the entire year.
Yeah, 97, 98. I mean, this was a song that's kind of everywhere now. The album Pieces of You was out in 1995, but it's one of those super slow late burns. Takes off in 96, and 97 is when all these Foolish Games and You're Meant for Me and Who Will Save Your Soul, a lot of huge songs. And I mean, how much I remember of her story off the top of my head, like the stories of like, oh yeah, she lived in her car and she was just writing lyrics in her van or whatever, and then blew up and got really famous.
Probably inspired a lot of shitty musicians to leave everything.
Yeah, and her sound has changed over time. But I did buy this Pieces of You album just because, like, I was trying to figure out what music do I like. I'm 15 and I need to like figure it out, and it turns out a lot of different things. And I did really enjoy that album. And a lot of the things that became big singles, they was clear they re-recorded it or went through a different production, because like the "You Were Meant for Me" on the album does not sound quite the same as the single that was put out. And that happens a lot, where when the single comes out, they spruce it up a bit. Yep.
I believe I got this through Columbia House. I think it might have been the one where it's like they send it to you, and if you don't want it,
sure,
or you keep it or whatever.
That's,
and I was
actually
like,
their entire system that you don't know you're signing up for. Yeah. You're subscribing to music you don't want.
Yep.
And if you don't send it back, it's like like $27.99 for a CD.
Yeah. Yep.
So in 1996,
I had this, but you know, yeah, actually, it's got some good songs on it.
Yeah.
Did this come out at a time when there were jewel cases?
Hey!
Yeah. Nice.
Look at that.
I remember the line I remember the most from this, because I guess I was 16 by now, but just some line in one of her songs. It might have been the first song on the album, but she's like something about smoking on this cigarette like you're giving your problems head or something like that. Some metaphor about like watching people like just chain smoke. And like feeding an addiction. I don't know. There's a really
female led blowjob references. Alanis Morissette. I guess just two.
There you go.
96.
Also out this week in 97, Kenny G, Six of Hearts.
Yeah. Speaking of things blowing.
Kenny G has sold 75 million albums.
What the Breathless, we were just covering on Talking Simpsons, one of the best selling albums of all time.
Yep. He is one of the highest selling artists of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this apparently his first EP, like a smaller album. Mm-hmm. But since his 86 debut, which year we just got done talking about, he has sold 75 million albums.
It's crazy. I think he's the best selling. He's got the best selling Christmas album for a Jew.
Really? Better than Barbra Streisand?
Ah, never mind.
Is Kenny G Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh,
the G stands for Jewish.
It's Kenny Goldberg.
Unbreak My Heart is still number one, and it's been there for weeks, and it will be there until February. So peace out of the 90s music for a minute, which is a great song, but we played it already. Mm-hmm. Rolling Stones Best 500 Albums from 1996 does include Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z, Odelay by Beck, and the Fugees' The Score.
Mm-hmm.
Top baby names for 1996, because we're ending 96.
Sure.
Emily, Jessica, and Ashley, which two of those were the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or was it Jennifer?
I knew a ton of Ashleys.
Well, Jessica and Ashley were from the previous
one. Jessica and Ashley. Jessica, Ashley, Emily for girls, Michael, Matthew, and Jacob.
Those are my favorite Lost characters.
Wow. Those Michael and Matthew. Look, everyone, stop it. Get some help. Stop naming your kids Michael and Matthew. The kids want to be able to tell the difference and have to be called by their last name.
That's what happened.
Every friend I have is like, you're not Matt.
Yeah.
You strip that from the record. You're not Matt in school.
Oh,
18 years of your life, you are not
Matt
or Chris.
If you're slightly overweight, you're Matty Fatty Sausage Patty. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Look, there's three other Gospels to choose from. Where are the Marks and Lukes and Johns?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Michael and you go to the bathroom once, you're Michael, Michael, motorcycle, turn the key and watch him pee. Is that not a
It still
thing?
Works.
Yeah, I've never heard this.
Nope.
But like Brett, like I didn't meet another Brett. I weirdly don't, like I knew one John in 18 years of like K through 12 into like into college. One John that I was friends with.
I lived two houses in my hometown and lived next door to Brett's each time.
Wow, that's so bizarre. Yeah. I never, like, it was like junior year in high school. I was like, somewhere in this building, there's another Brett.
That's why I always called you Elson. I think it's a great name to say. And I didn't like the one of the neighbors.
I've never met a Jacob.
You're sitting in this old room.
I guess, why would I know a kid who's born in 1996?
That's who?
I'm making friends with 20-year-olds.
I don't know. You got that Tinder profile.
Movies in 1996/7. None. This is the first time I think this has happened in the show's year-long history.
I think
because of the weird date range of December 30th to January 5th.
This is around the time where movies are starting to do the December 25th thing to make it in time for the Oscars, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why would you put out a movie the first week? Because people are still watching those movies from last week.
And you're tickling your Elmos, you're playing your Mario N64 games. There's not a lot
movies. Mm-hmm. It was like, why release a new movie?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to.
There is a Christmas. Chris put in here.
Just to bother Diana.
Christmas every day.
A total ripoff of Groundhog Day that came out a few weeks ago.
Ew.
Where a young boy is wished upon his sister to relive Christmas every
single
day.
This is an ABC Family Christmas. Yes.
This
movie.
Was, I think, in the first 25 days of Christmas thing from Family Channel.
Mom, Dad, I gotta talk to you right now, immediately, this minute. It's Christmas again!
I know. Here, open your present.
No, you don't understand. It's been Christmas every day for the past 3 days. It's like the Christmas episode of The Twilight Zone. See, I know everything.
It's exactly like that.
Or this other movie that's really popular.
Which, by the way, every day opens up with the alarm clock going off to the same song. This fucking movie.
Holy shit, wow.
I feel like, I don't know what torture Diana more to like force you into this kind of situation or to watch this movie at all.
Bill Murray, this kid ain't.
We don't need to talk about this anymore. TV, so again, a little bit of December ending 96 here.
So December 30th, 1996, the Ladies Home Journal Most Fascinating Women airs, hosted by Jamie Lee Curtis, and the most fascinating women of 1996 are as follows, according to Ladies Home Journal. Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Who?
Rosie O'Donnell, Dana Reeve, Bette Midler, Gloria Estefan, Oprah Winfrey, Shannon Lucid, Dot Richardson, Lisa Leslie, Christy Martin, and Jacqueline Michard. Most of those are
the first
of
the list I knew, but you can find out more information at lasertimepodcast.richardson. Who is that?
I can't believe you secured that Dot Richardson domain.
Staying in 1996, December 31st, 1996, New Year's Rockin' Eve airs, and this one was co-hosted. You know, this is still back when Dick Clark hosted it, but it was co-hosted by Stacey Dash, who's still around. Fox News.
Reality show?
Is that the My Little Pony?
Of Clueless.
The Clueless Girls.
Who also hosted with Donald Faison, who was also in Clueless.
The love interest in Boomerang.
Yes, and was on Scrubs for many years. So they co-hosted, and the show included performances by Jan Arden, Kiss, Weird Al Yankovic, the Presidents of the United States of America, and the Tony Rich Project.
All of them.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. A show for no one.
Yeah. Well, for everyone and no one.
That's so weird.
And fans of Clueless, who are no one. The show.
Those.
Clueless the show. No one cares.
No.
Rolling into the new year, starting on January 1st, 1997, America rolls out the television rating system. Which would later morph into what we still have today with TVG, TVPG, TVMA, all those.
It just seems so useless now.
I think because this may have been in conjunction with like the V-chip.
Yeah,
it was.
Exactly.
So like you could set your TV to just block out shows of certain ratings, which I guess would be useful, but kids don't even watch TV nowadays.
Exactly.
So like Netflix and shit.
Everything worse is accessible immediately.
And
you
can do the same thing on like
filter.
Your consoles and your, well, I don't know.
But I remember when this happened. I remember sitting in the living room and the first time I turn on the TV and the top of the hour hit. It was like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, right, everything has a rating now on TV. So at 3 o'clock sharp, at the top of every hour, I would flip through the channels as fast as I could. It's like, what did every show get rated? Like, I just have to know that somebody had to pass a judgment on literally every show. So I was just like, PG, PG, PG.
Wow, Doug is TV 14 for some reason.
He's going to talk to his dad about sex.
I do remember, and I wanted to fact check it, but I'm still not quite sure. HBO, I don't think they were required to use it on top of the show because HBO had rating systems before programs started.
They're behind a paywall too, so
yes, but they still had to do it, and they still do, like TVMA for partial buttocks display and Mr. Show reference. But do you know what the first show on basic cable was to use TVMA?
Shield.
It's South Park.
Oh,
it's
of course.
South Park getting, I think, the first regular show to get TV. I can't believe that's the case. Something.
No, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but it seems like something that intentionally went for the TVMA, whereas I'm sure there was some content in a show that was controversial, so they had to put it on there to cover their ass on network television.
Nah, I think they would just cut it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's not 1997, but it's either this year or next year that the Treehouse of Horror is the censor being murdered by the rating system.
Yeah.
I want to say it was the next. It was 1998 that they did that.
But this is a time when the ESRB, which is now the thing that rates video games, but like prior to the ESRB forming in 93, Sega adopted its own rating system that was very similar to this. It was GA for general audiences, MA-13 TV and Georgia. MA-17. MA-13, but the TV ones, they had to change. It was TV-M, but because it looked too much like what would become, or it was because it was called M, TV-M, and then that, when the ESRB did come around, they had M for mature, so TV-M became TV-MA, just to distinguish it, but like, we went from when the 90s started, there were no ratings on anything, to now, video games have ratings, TV shows have ratings, the movies are rated, comic books start to get rated in the early 2000s, I guess, but like, those ratings make no sense at all.
Some lady named Peggy is rating all of the games in the UK. Peggy. Peggy,
having had to produce some of those official content for publishers, it's a required 4 seconds.
Peggy?
Rated M for mature. It has to be said. It has to be displayed with all the descriptors. Yep. Exactly 4 seconds, or you get fined.
And and then all kinds of silly shit where they can spoil games with ratings, and they have no repercussions when they do that. And
rated M for death of main character.
Yeah, main character dies grotesquely on screen. Like, don't print that. How about that?
That always bugs me, because I guess most of the TVMA that I end up watching is like HBO shows, like, you know, Game of Thrones or something. And it's like when they say, you know, graphic violence and sexuality. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, so someone's gonna get stabbed to death while they're fucking.
Showtime had R for rape.
Oh,
so like, I understand why that's there, and I'm sure a ton of people appreciate it, including me. But that is literally a spoiler. Like, that's a very explicit act.
But whenever they have like graphic violence, it's like, all right, running through my head all the characters, who's getting killed or who's killing somebody.
I don't know when it was, but I know I was watching Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, I got an R in the descriptor.
Also on January 1st, Kung Fu: The Legend Continues.
Oh, Jesus.
Concluded. After 4 seasons.
Does not continue.
Yeah. After 4 seasons and 88 episodes.
So, David Carradine.
Yes.
Yeah. I watched this a lot, actually.
And his son?
In the show, I guess it's his son, because at the time I didn't know it was an older show, Kung Fu, because I think I just got the internet around this time, mere weeks before probably. So I didn't know that there was an old show called Kung Fu, and my friend Josh and I, who's been on Laser Time, we would watch this like every Saturday in syndication or whenever it aired, and would tape the. It has a great theme song, and the last day of school. Every year of high school, 95, 96, 97, 98, and then when we graduated in 99, we would, I guess not 95, that'd be 8th grade because of the way the years work. We would both go home, and we would both listen to a song to celebrate the start of summer vacation. Mine was the main theme from Star Trek Generations, and Josh every time would put in Kung Fu: The Legend Continues because the opening theme song is so fun.
Wow.
I remember almost nothing about the show other than it is... just, you know, budgety, weekly, we go on a minor adventure. Yeah. Someone in the mall is causing trouble. Mm. Let's kick him.
That's what the show was.
Littlest hobo
for karate.
But it was like, I don't know, it was just like a comfort show. As a teenager, I want to watch someone do a reasonably okay spin kick and
this
be
is
like,
a,
nice.
This is a stupid question. I remember this being promoted because I was watching a bunch of like Fox animated shows. And they promoted this in conjunction with another syndicated show that was more sci-fi skewed, and I just
that sounds about
that's
right.
The one I was more interested
this
in.
This is also around the time Outer Limits was remember. On around both of these shows.
Also,
90s Outer Limits.
Don't worry, star David Carradine would hang around for a while after this. I'm sorry, too soon? Too soon.
After he gets his heart exploded.
January 3rd, 1997, Bryant Gumbel anchors his final episode of the Today Show after 15 years. He went on to become the Plow King. No, it's Barney Gumbel. who replaced him? You'll have to wait for next week's episode to find out. Don't look it up.
I remember that being... I didn't know who he was, and that was like weirdly controversial, or like people were... Wow, really? He's leaving this gold mine to go do real sports on HBO, which is still happening.
Yeah.
But
he also...
Every time I watch that show, I'm like, oh, this is what real journalism looks like.
He did anchor his own new show for like a year that didn't last, but then went on to real sports.
Mostly remember this name for Nostradamus, or the Chappelle Show thing?
Right, Negrodamus.
Negrodamus makes Brian Gumbel... Or Wayne Brady makes Brian Gumbel look like Malcolm X on the Wayne Brady episode.
And last and definitely not least, January 5th, 1997. This is the one I'm going to botch. El Viaje Misterioso de Nuestro Homer airs.
You got it.
Which is Homer going on an acid... Homer going on an acid trip after eating the Guatemalan insanity pepper.
Yes, Johnny Cash, and, voice of the coyote. Yes,
and, Space Coyote.
Yes, yeah. A Space Coyote voiced by Johnny Cash. A lot of great just like psychedelic imagery while Homer's tripping balls.
I did put in a clip of Homer tripping.
Just, and the animation is so wonderful.
Goo goo gajoob.
Necrobopple, Barney. But yeah, the visual style is so great. But then yeah, he meets the talking coyote, which is Johnny Cash, and he breaks the sun by running back and forth until it...
Rise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset.
But yeah, I love the line when like he's having a flash, he's having the hallucinations, vision quest stuff, and then he keeps asking the coyote and Johnny Cash voice, this is just a flashback. I can't provide you any new information.
Don't quit your day job, whatever that is. Which is this, Homer with a mouthful of wax.
This is the same one because it starts at the chili festival. Isn't this the one where he takes he tries Flanders chili or five alarm chili?
Two alarm at best.
Two and a half. And was it Rod or Todd? Like, Daddy, are you going to jail?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, Diana. Yeah. Time for chili. Your hat doesn't have a clock in it.
This might be his introduction.
I'm missing the chili cook-off.
Animation is so good.
Fear not, Homer. I am your spirit guide.
Hiya.
There is a lesson you must learn.
If it's about laying off the insanity peppers, I'm way ahead of you.
So good.
But like, this was just back-to-back episodes of like weird kind of... norms being broken.
Yeah.
Ned doing a weird thing in a second consecutive episode. It's just a very weird time for, like, I always thought, like, looking back up for a while, I was like, oh, season 7 was the last good season. But, like, no, eight is
great.
8 is right up there with, like,
I love 8.
It could be my favorite season. There's, like, maybe one dud in the entire batch.
Shows have a great 8 season.
I feel like this one, the ending is kind of weak from 8, but.
I forget how it even ends,
Doesn't it end with the We Love Short Shorts?
I'm confusing it with The Simpsons, the movie Vision Quest.
But,
Other people are just as important as me.
So, yeah, the animation's so beautiful and so strange. Love it. Love Space Coyote.
Is this the line?
Hey, wait! Come back!
Oh, no, something else.
And that's it for TV this week.
Video games, strangely, one big thing to mention for this December 31st, Diablo releases on PC. Which is Blizzard's big post-Warcraft hit. Warcraft 1 and 2 had already come out. And Diablo being a randomly generated dungeons filled with loot, point-and-click your way, like, you know, mouse to... I mean, just that mouse-keyboard combo of, like, just really getting addicted to the game loop of, like, go through a dungeon, fight enemies... grab stuff, they're kind of randomly generated, and you could see enemies and certain aspects of the game one playthrough, but it would encourage you to play through again because you might not even see the same enemy in the same place, and the loot might be different, and it just became this third pillar of popularity for Blizzard, where they had Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft.
I mean, they've launched like 5 franchises in over 20 years, and they all seem to show bizarre longevity.
Yeah, they do quite well. But yeah, I never played much Diablo, but it is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and Blizzard mentioned that Diablo 3, which has been out now for a while, they were basically adding most or the whole game into Diablo 3 with this like old, you know, 16-bit looking style. So that's cool. Again, 302010.net, if you want to chime in on about Diablo, I know it's a huge deal, but again, by this point, my PC gaming was... I had no, you know, I could have played this because I could run Warcraft 2 fine by now, but I don't know. Diablo kind of passed me by. Death Rally also came out on PC, which is notable because Remedy, the team that would make Max Payne, mm-hmm. literally the next game they would make, they begin with this overhead racing game called Death Rally. Top-down racing game, slightly, if you imagine RC Pro-Am, mm-hmm. but a little grittier and not like toys racing, but you had like power-ups and ways to enhance your vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's one of, and also another one of those date ranges that's hard to nail down. Sometimes it says October, sometimes it says 12/31, mm-hmm. so who knows. Mm-hmm. But Death Rally, Big Diablo out on PC. NBA Hang Time came to consoles. The team that made NBA Jam, but the name NBA Jam is, I think, now owned by Acclaim because they handled all the home conversions, mm-hmm. and I guess through some weirdness, NBA Jam became really an Acclaim thing. Hang Time became Midway, and then NBA and NBC would be the, another game down mm-hmm. the line. One of the greatest themes...
Is this the one that has Dan Emmerich?
I can't remember. This seems maybe too early, but it might be. Yeah, a lot of hidden characters. I mean, Clinton and whoever else were in.
Yeah, they were back in Jam. But
NBA Jam,
were,
yeah.
But the same team. I love this theme song. Yeah.
What you gonna do? Know what I mean? What you gonna do when I come through bad?
I love this. It's like an extinct style of like 90s hip hop.
It's great. Man, it's like Quad City DJs level.
Chill.
A little lower tempo. Man, you know what? Forget it. Let's just go out with that. We'll go out with the NBA Hang Time theme. When we come back this same week, 2006/2007. On the court, I never been beat. Beauty only skin deep. I like the rim 10 feet. You can't stop me. Your game looks sloppy. You need more practice. Maybe you like this to enjoy the game by midway. I can drive around you, even shoot a trait. A 3-point threat, no sweat. You can bet. Back it out and fade away on net. Hang time. What you wanna do? Tell me. What you gonna do when I come through bang?
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Deploying overseas, the analogy that I use is not a very popular one, but I equate it to going to prison. You go away for a year. Mm-hmm. The world keeps moving on without you.
Yeah.
You know, friends, family, bills needing to be paid. It's kind of like you're just getting transplanted onto Mars for all intents and purposes. What the fuck just happened?
Not had that luxury. Because I was able to talk to talk to a pair of vendors whose job it was to basically set up a store overseas for the military and about the stories of like the soldiers depend on what the government gives them and what they can bring in a duffel bag. And usually that doesn't include a console. It's boring. In between the jarring nature of life and death situation is pure boredom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pure boredom.
The U.S. is trying to close up those theaters over there, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as they close those bases up, MWR, morale, welfare, and recreation facilities, those end up getting cut first. So you got guys that... Military's great at providing beans and bullets, but when it comes to, like, things to do, they just, you know, it's like... And so you get, you know, you see scenes like, you know, I think it's Jarhead. I forgot which movie it was, but there's one guy, they're testing out plate carriers, like ballistic vests, and one guy's like, I'm going to stab you in the chest. And I forgot what that was.
Yeah,
but guys do that shit because there's nothing to fuck do.
Not equating that to this, but just like when you're in the Midwest and it's like, it's the 80s or 90s, there's no internet, there's nothing to do. Like, do you think if you push me off... push me off this in a shopping cart, do you think I'll make it? I bet I will. I dare your ass. And you're just like, yeah, when you run out of things to do, it's like, well, put that vest on and let's see if this knife goes through it.
Mike Tyson's punch out isn't out for another 2 months. We gotta fill the time somehow.
Exactly. So yeah, that's
Here's a dumb question about that though.
How do you get
drugs over there? Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
Mrs. Internet and all the ships at sea. It's time for Diana's Classic Corner. We look even further back in time to see if there's any classic movies worth a watching. And this week, December 30th through January 5th, looking at the end of 1966, 50 years ago this week, we got 1 Million Years BC, starring Raquel Welch in her little fur bikini. It's a fun movie. I guess. It's so silly. I mean, anything with cavemen is silly, but the fur bikini is pretty iconic. I'll give you that. You remember from Shawshank. And 75 years ago this week, end of 41, beginning of 42, we got Commando Strike at Dawn. Spoiler alert, with Paul Muni, Lady for a Night, Joan Blondell, and not a big fan of either of those. Man Who Came to Dinner with Monty Woolley and Betty Davis is pretty funny, but it's very stagey. You can tell, oh, this was obviously a play. So I will recommend another movie with Betty Davis that is farther back in time, so I'm not going to be able to bring it up unless I come up with an excuse. Petrified Forest from 1936. Also stagey, you can tell it's a play. It's not that hard to tell, but it's Betty Davis works in a diner on the edge of the Petrified Forest, and Leslie Howard, you probably remember from Gone with the Wind, shows up as this sort of, like, kind of suicidal poet guy. He's sort of aimless, and then they are all held captive by Humphrey Bogart, and is totally his breakout role as this, you know, bandit, robber, whatever, wanted criminal. And it's just the dynamic between them all is really interesting. The performances are really good. Yeah, like I said, Humphrey Bogart bummed around Hollywood, came back and forth and back and forth to New York and L.A. for a long time. Leslie Howard insisted he did such a good job on the stage that he had to be in this movie, or Leslie Howard would walk, and it made Bogart a big old star. And he actually named one of his children Leslie after Leslie Howard, who will pass away in World War II. We'll get to that one day. Anyway, Petrified Forest, 1936. I totally recommend it. And that's it for this week. Stay classic. Cause it never happened to me. You're feeling blue now. I think you bit off more than you could chew. And now it's time to make a choice. And all I wanna hear is yours.
That is Unwritten Law with Seeing Red is the name of the song. I blanked for a second because this is not a song that came out this year. This is an older song from, I guess, 2002 or 3. But Unwritten Law did have a new album, The Hit List, released this date range in 2007, which was a compilation album that had three songs from their 05 album, Here's to the Morning, Morning with a U. Get it? And the new studio recordings of 14 songs from earlier albums, which is... It's just weird because it's a greatest hits album that does not include Seeing Red, which is the only song I know. But I remember.
Actually, I think they're a punk band.
Yeah.
That's their sellout hit.
Or like a rock something. But that's the rock combo? That's the song I knew the most. And, like, I really like that song. It's one of those things that's on my iPad Nano, iPod Nano, that I got as a gift for when I moved to California. And I still had that song floating around on my computer from 03, and I don't know. I remember really liking it. So we'll play that, because, again, to get to talk about 2003, it's going to be a while. So I just thought I'd come in with that. Beyoncé's Irreplaceable is still the number one song, and it's been there for quite some time.
Yep.
Moving into news, again, December 30th, Saddam Hussein is executed at age 69.
Hey, the weed number.
And the footage leaks almost immediately. And I remember being in a bar in Illinois, because I was home for Christmas, and, like, even in the bar TVs, everyone's like, is that Saddam Hussein? Did they kill him?
Genuinely disturbing that had the whole world seen the execution of a country's leader, like, right when it happened?
I don't think I've actually seen the footage. I have.
Yeah, I have.
It's not pleasant. It's a dude in a dark room getting what he deserves / looking very scared.
Yeah, they're taking him up the stairs, mm-hmm. and you know, like, he starts to pray, and they start, like, yelling at him, and mm-hmm. then rope.
Rope. Ugh. Yeah, they were still using rope back in 07.
Yeah, but, like, I mean... a saga that goes back, I don't even know when his saga begins. 70s, 80s? 70s. Yeah. 70s, yeah. Like...
We were pals. Buddies.
Buddies. Here's him shaking hands with everybody that would eventually go to war with him.
And not to get political, I just think it's... Certain instances, it's weird that, like... Isn't that someone we, like, capture or exile? And said we let him get murdered? Like, isn't that how we transition? Never mind. I don't know the answer, but I usually don't have to see it.
Yeah, we have a really bad track record of letting genocidal assholes or, you know, murderous totalitarians just happily live out their days somewhere. So this, I'm against the death penalty, but it is sort of nice to at least see one of them get what had coming to him, you know? It's like Pol Pot got to live out happily the life, and yeah.
It just seems very strange. I think you could qualify it as the first one the world got to see.
Yeah.
The world. I mean, I'm sure this usually happens in public for all to see, but it's not streamed on the internet.
That's true.
Kind of surprised he never showed up in South Park after this happened. Like, that they could have done something with it.
I think he has.
I'm looking at the wiki for it, and apparently, his last episode was 2003.
He was dead when he showed up in the movie.
Yeah.
Satan.
Was it?
Yeah,
that's why he's in hell.
That movie wasn't out this early.
99.
No, the movie was 99, yeah.
We can move on.
In the movie, Saddam Hussein has died and is in hell with Satan.
Yeah.
And they're gay together. That's
funny.
But
I don't think that South Park actually lampooned his actual death.
No. I don't know. I wasn't watching at this point. But that's just such a weird ending to a saga that was like from the moment I was born and then through Desert Storm and then through 2003 invading Iraq and then 06, 07 is like these, like, well, okay, that was a 30-year saga. Okay. January 1st, the European Union expands to include Bulgaria and Romania.
Nice.
Let's call this why there's Brexit. Romania, Bulgaria, and Turkey, and immigrants coming. Because in the EU, you can work anywhere. Mm-hmm. So Romania and Bulgaria, no offense to them, sound like they suck. So why wouldn't you move to Germany or England or France and then send money home, just like immigrants all over the world do? And so now 10 years later, Britain holds a vote, and they're super pissed off about Eastern Europeans and Turkish dudes showing up. And they're not speaking our language that we love so much.
But everyone there is different. Like, those countries are so smashed together. It's just like, but everyone here is like, France, Italy, Spain.
Yeah, it's like us hating someone in Nebraska.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean,
there's a lot of difference, you know, going 1,000 years back and all that. But on the other hand, y'all's just white people to me. So
And then also on January 4th, Nancy Pelosi becomes the first woman Speaker of the House.
Hey, the first person on the show I voted for.
Hey, I tried to find an actual picture of it. I remember that the San Francisco Chronicle headline for this, because she's a representative from San Francisco, was like, local grandmother gets new job. That was really cute.
Yeah, they were really critical on her in the press, actually.
Was it her or Barbara Boxer that was like, when we were voting in this last election in 2016, the year that should not be named. There was one that was like, in a lot of the stuff that we were like, oh, here's who leans this way, leans that way, whatever. There was one, it was her, Boxer, I can't remember. There was like,
Boxer's retiring, so it wasn't her. She wasn't on the ballot.
Okay, so it must have been Pelosi then. It was like, she does not represent San Francisco very well. She represents whatever. I mean, I don't know.
I moved here. I opened up the paper and they're like, where I'm from, Nancy Pelosi is a boogeyman right-wing people bring up to talk about the liberals in power.
Yep.
And then I move here, and they're taking her to task for allowing George Lucas to build the largest underground parking lot in the nation in a national forest area, in a protected forest area, the LucasArts complex. They were not very happy about that. But, you know, it's a pretty campus. I like it.
Hey, parking's got to go somewhere. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I still love his, like, NIMBYs don't want me to build a thing, so now I'll just build housing.
It's beautiful. He's a good man, and we should remember George Lucas as such.
Most popular baby names of 2007.
Yes.
Emily, Emma, and Madison.
Here's where it goes to shit.
Madison, I'm not big on.
Again, I've never been able to figure this out. This has been like with the bad baby name site I had for so long, trying to figure out why the fuck Madison became a big girl's name. Because if you remember in the film Splash, she picks the name Madison. Daryl Hannah picks the name Madison because they are walking past Madison Avenue. And it's a joke. The gag is that is not a person's name. It's the name of Madison Avenue. And then here we are, 20 years later, and all of a sudden, it's one of the most popular baby names in the country.
Maybe with fat Southerners who are fan of the Dolly Madison snack cakes.
could be.
Or they were like really old presidents.
Look, yeah. My son Hostess and I do not. Like,
I feel like Madison is, again, a name that can be a boy or a girl.
My son,
right?
TMNT pudding pie.
Yeah, well, it we're should be here. For a boy because it's got son in it.
Oh.
But then, yeah.
What about Allison?
Yeah, everyone thinks they're so smart they name their kid Madison. Like, oh, this is really original. Oh, wait, it's the third most popular. Well, I guess I'll put some Y's in it then. Yeah. Now it's different. No, it's fucking not.
Different.
Well,
also
my,
with
my
a
buddy's
y.
sister, her name is Addison with no M. With two D's,
yeah.
Addison.
Yeah, that's, I've seen that one a few times.
Yeah, that's just become a thing where it's just, yeah, names that really are just last names and boys. First names. And then you change all of the vowels to Y's, and you're an idiot.
Or George Lucas.
You're an idiot.
Boys' names. Man, get some inspiration here, guys. Ah. Jacob, Michael, and Joshua.
Really?
Yeah.
Same old, same old.
Boring, boring.
Well, Joshua moved up.
I mean,
I
Joshua
guess.
Did move out, but again, we're still in a still biblical... but, you know... I knew several Joshes, but not as many as I knew Mikes and Matts.
Yeah, I actually had to learn that not all Joshes are Joshuas. I thought that was the case.
Really?
Well, why would have you ever called your friend Josh? I've had Joshua friends. You'll just be Josh
just
for the rest of your life forever.
If they want to be called Joshua, they're joshing you. That's a joke.
Are you running for something? Because that was great.
Ho ho.
I'll wear that on a redhead.
I'm from the Josh belt. So, movies this week, I have never heard of any of these movies.
Yeah,
right. Code name The Cleaner.
Right.
Everybody thought Jake Rogers was an ordinary guy until the day he woke up with no clue what happened.
I woke up next to a dead FBI agent.
What is your name?
No chance for survival.
I'm gonna die.
And no idea who he is.
I am Special Ops.
Try Special Mops. You're a janitor.
Not much to learn about. This is Cedric the Entertainer waking up one day to find out he is a secret undercover FBI agent. So it has nothing to do with The Morning After, which we just talked about last episode.
Lucy Liu is like the plugged-in actual agent, I guess.
I get
Nicola Sheridan.
Sometimes when I can't say anything about a film, I look into the people behind it, and I got fascinated by the director Les Mayfield because he hasn't done anything in a while.
More should be like less directing.
But he directed Encino Man, Miracle on 34th Street, Flubber, Blue Streak, The Man.
Wow.
This is his last film that he ever directed,
but we've
all heard of those films.
That's a pretty clear graph heading down.
Well, maybe, but I mean, maybe. But out of college, he said he started a production company that remade all the terrible live-action Disney movies that I love, including Bruce Campbell's Love Bug, Freaky Friday, Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, but he is the producer on one of my favorite making-of documentaries ever, Hearts of Darkness.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Was a studio did his last executive producer credit is Terminator 2 3D Battle Across Time.
Wow.
That's the last thing he's credited for. And he's still alive. I hope he made his money or something like that and he's not sick or something. But
that's weird.
Terminator 2 3D, which I don't think you can even see anymore, but it's so cool. Mm. And the last time you can see Linda Hamilton, Edward Furlong, and Schwarzenegger together in a Terminator thingy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Universal Studios, now the Transformers ride.
Freedom Riders?
Never heard of it.
I'd heard of it. I had to look it up, make sure. Yeah, Hilary Swank is a teacher. It's based on a true story, and she goes to a violent inner city school, and she just wants to help these kids. but I mean, it's based on a true story, and I think the most interesting thing I found out about it was that it's shown in the movie, too, and in real life that they... She was teaching him like Diary of Anne Frank and realized like a lot of these kids hadn't heard about the Holocaust and stuff and ended up getting enough money to bring in Meepkees to visit, who was one of the people who helped shelter Anne Frank and to actually talk to these kids, and then the kids letting them like write about their own
diary
feelings.
Of their own experiences and the inner city life in the 90s LA.
Yeah, Long Beach, I think. Every review I said was like, yeah, we've seen this before, but it's nice that this one movie where it actually listens to the inner city kids and is not just like, here, I'm a white savior, do what I say and I'll fix everything. You're wrong about everything, I'll fix it. It's, you know, no, these kids have real problems and they really have to deal with them.
And I think the irony that I read that one of the actors in the movie was killed very similarly at 18 as this high school student's experiences in the movie, and Yeah.
That's fucked up.
And then rounding out the movies of this week, Happily Never After, but it's in apostrophe ever.
Never.
The last few episodes we've been airing into a weird era of movies no one remembers, but still got like straight to video sequels.
So this isn't the Married with Children ripoff,
no.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
No, nor is it the Filmation Snow White sequel.
I
just happily never, and apostrophe R.
Oh. Yeah, the name's kind of corny, but we had to call it something, and Canada was already taken.
That's it.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'll tell you the premise of the movie if you really want to know.
In this tower, high above the Prince's Palace, is what you might call the Department of Fairytale Land Security. This is where all the stories, you know the ones.
The public domain ones. We can.
Sleeping Beauty, the Frog Prince, are watched over by a wizard. And his job is to make sure every fairy tale goes by the book.
So what, they just...
intermingle and havoc ensues.
When you leave the room, your fairy tales come to life.
Yeah, never seen this film, have no interest in it. They made a sequel to it without any of the cast coming back, so I don't know. There's a lot for you if you care to look into it more. Do it! Let me know. LaserTimePodcast.com.
And then TV in 2007.
Moving from one nondescript hunk, Freddie Prinze Jr., to another...
Yeah.
December 31st, 2006, Ryan Seacrest takes over as host of New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Wow.
This is his first year, and I guess so. This upcoming one will be his 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So Dick Clark's final one was in 2004. Regis Philbin hosted in 2005. I think Dick Clark
would show up.
He would show up for the countdown.
Even post-stroke, which was like...
Yeah, well, there's one or two bad years where it's like he's mumbling the numbers, and I don't even know if they're in order.
He could have just come out and waved, made everybody feel a little happier.
But yeah, Ryan Seacrest is still at it, and it does fuel the Ryan Seacrest is Dick Clark 2.0.
Is there nothing he can't host?
No. He literally, for a while, he was like doing American Idol, which was probably making him money hand over fist, and still doing a morning radio show.
Morning radio show and some E! Channel news wrap-up show, and he hosted the fucking Olympics.
He may be Mayonnaise the person, but he works friggin' hard.
You know, there's one thing that I've always liked about Ryan Seacrest is that picture of him that went viral of him in junior high, and he is just the chubbiest, dorkiest looking dude.
Oh, really?
He is so, so dorky. He's like my spirit animal.
Wow.
And I feel like every 12-year-old should see pictures of him then and pictures of him now. It's like, look,
I think
ugly duckling, et cetera, et cetera.
He's... seems to be pretty self-aware and a hard worker and a good guy. I talked to him for like 2 seconds outside of... Yeah, he bumped us for a Call of Duty appointment at E3 one year. I talked in his direction.
And he said,
in the same room.
Brian Dunkelman, good to see you. I'm not Mr. Dunkelman.
Don't paint an image of me on the show. I want to leave the mystery. Seacrest, hi.
Yeah. The next day, January 1st, 2007... Engaged and Underage debuted on MTV, which I think was pretty much just the prequel to 16 and Pregnant, because
that means this has been happening for 10 years for MTV.
Yeah, so those girls are now
they've been doing overage
and hopefully still married. They've been
exploiting irresponsible teenagers for longer than they played just music videos.
Yeah,
wow.
That show. What? How many more years until? Well, the show is still underage.
Toddler but, moms.
Yeah. The next day,
don't think about it.
January 2nd, 2007, Dirt premieres on FX, which is a show co-produced by Courteney Cox and Dave Arquette back in better times for that couple. I forget who was in it.
Courteney Cox.
Oh, she was on it too?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was about a tabloid newspaper, you know.
Oh,
whatever. Oh, okay.
How ribald.
Vaguely remember them.
So that went 2 seasons. The next day, 2 shows that didn't even make it to their second season premiered on ABC. I just think that they're notable because of the people involved. First was In Case of Emergency, which starred Lori Loughlin, who was Uncle Jesse's wife.
Jane Emergency.
Yeah. Jonathan Silverman, the single guy. And what a banner rig for this guy, David Arquette. Was in the sitcom.
WCW champion?
Yes.
Did I remind that Emilio Estevez in Wisdom stars as John Wisdom? That is his name in the movie. Sorry.
More notable to me, like a show that I remember and actually probably watched 2 or 3 episodes of, was Knights of Prosperity.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, with the
Donal Logue.
Thank you.
Yes, the cab driver
yes,
from MTV.
Like I said,
Tao of Steve. Which would have done. Yeah, this was just one in a string of it. But this show, I feel, would have done way better if they used the like original name they had for it, which was the basically the whole concept of the show. Let's rob Mick Jagger's house.
It's
an entire season of them planning out a heist of Mick Jagger's house.
Hoping he signs on for that series finale.
He did. Well, apparently, originally, it was supposed to be... I can't even forget it. I think it was Matthew Broderick, but that can't be it. But I feel like Mick Jagger's famous enough. Like, oh, that is just the name itself. I want to see when Mick Jagger shows up. I want to see how they tie in Mick Jagger to the whole premise. But
poor
Knights of Prosperity.
Sing the theme song.
Knights of Prosperity is just
Donald
such a...
Logue having, yeah, the shittiest titles for shows between that and Terriers. What the crap?
More like Terror Bully.
I like him so much for some reason. It's supposed to be Let's Rob Jeff Goldblum.
Which seems
like a much harder get than Mick Jagger.
I feel like, Mick Jagger is better for that. Yeah. Like, Jeff Goldblum, I mean...
Like he's got a reasonably, probably, well-paid... Like a nice house, I'm sure, but Mick Jagger's house, come on. I'm sure it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Much more fun to rob.
A second season was considered featuring Ray Romano.
Don't rob my house! Guys, you're here every day.
Stop it!
Moving out of TV into games, nothing.
Nothing.
Because again, this time period, like December 30th to January 5th.
Tell me, we could have taken this whole week, this whole show off.
You wouldn't have. We're still going to break an hour. Don't you worry. But for what it's worth, in Japan, Ape Escape Million Monkeys came out, which we never got. But if you like your Ape Escape series, there was another game.
I did on the PS1, and then after that, kind of just stopped caring.
We can bounce back real quick into a couple of news items. Momofuku Ando, inventor of instant noodles, died at age 96.
No. It's my favorite food item in Final Fantasy 15 right now.
Momofuku, the bear in Persona, or
Monokuma.
Monokuma, and that's Danganronpa. Okay.
But he made a product so full of sodium, and he still made it to 96.
96.
Yeah. God bless.
This is something that will really date the world. Steve Jobs announces the iPhone.
It's 10 years old.
Macworld. It will release in mid 07, but this is the point where he gets up on a stage.
It was a cross-border acquisition of a very large size.
Thank you forever with these unskippable 30-second ads.
That I'm sure that the
adjust
uploader...
for the modern era, whatever company this is that's taking this long to get the...
From Barclays, it was...
circle-jerking ad about how good they are, about
it
whatever the fuck it is.
Execution.
And now you have so many opportunities in the U.S.
It's a game-changer.
No, it's not! I'm spitting, I'm so mad.
All right, here we go.
A widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device. An iPod. A phone.
They're releasing three things.
And an internet communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? These are not three separate devices. This is one device.
I can't believe it.
And we are calling it iPhone. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
There's very few promises that follow through like that. Because I didn't...
Yeah?
Yep.
I was excited about it, but I didn't... I mean, every device wants to have its own store and sell its own music. And, like, look at our stupid Xboxes carrying on that valiant, idiotic fight, trying to make me buy albums off my goddamn Xbox for three times as much as the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the whole thing is, I watched most of it last night. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting in that they go off of, well, there's this thing called smartphones now where you can get email and you can get like a little bit of the web, and they got buttons. And he goes off about how much he hates fucking buttons. And then you can't update buttons, but you can update apps.
My turtleneck has no buttons.
No buttons. So we're just going to have this thing with no buttons. Actually, it's got a couple buttons, but just a couple buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I don't think they realized how big a deal it would be. Is he doesn't mention the camera for like 15 minutes.
Wow.
Really?
And it's like that, the web browsing and the camera, I think those are kind of the big things. It's like the fact that it's such a good camera and you can do video and shit on it and you can take it everywhere. Yeah. And so everyone takes pictures of their dinner.
Yeah, because like
whatever.
But phone, I had a phone before that had a camera in it, but it sucked.
But
it sucked.
And I couldn't share it somewhere.
But you had, I think it's the apps that let you use the camera in functional, in meaningful ways.
Yeah.
Through the apps, because otherwise you'd take this shitty Motorola picture and you could send it to one person over the course of a minute or two. Man, I cannot believe this is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What did happen?
We can dig in more like when it releases. But yeah, it being announced, the announcement's 10 years old and. Like, my parents had iPhones before me because, again, where they are, they still don't have the internet to this day.
Yeah,
it's not just, there.
Yeah.
So to get an iPhone that had 3G at the time was like, oh, the rest of the world just showed up.
And just how texting changed. Where, like, if you gave me a razor and made me send out a text on that, it would take me, like, 10 minutes. Because I've forgotten all of the... There's two different ways...
T9? You're talking T9?
Yeah, but there was two different ways you could text. You could either press the button a number
three
times or...
Which is what I did.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a smartphone until I got a BlackBerry Storm in like 08, which was the touch screen that would click in so that you got some tactile sensation of pushing buttons.
Oh, I remember you getting frustrated in the final days of that phone.
The final days of that. It turns out when you keep pushing a screen in over and over and over and over and over, it just goes, fuck you, and gives up. But I didn't get an iPhone until 5? I didn't have a 4 because I had an Android for a brief period. Anyway. It took me a while to get an iPhone.
I'm a late adopter. I like letting them go through a couple cycles first.
I mean, it's on its somewhere between its 12th and 13th iteration in that period. Because there's been
with all the S's and stuff.
I don't know that there was a 1 or 2S. I think 3S was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first. Well, it was 3G. It was iPhone 3G, and then 4S is the first proper S thing.
But I will say,
3GS. I had a 3G. That was my first one.
There is one thing he says in there that is a lie. A giant lie. He says that the iPhone runs OS X. That is a fucking
Safari.
Lie.
Yeah. No, it's...
it runs a kind of OS
iOS X. Probably wouldn't want to run OS X.
He lied to us.
He lied.
He's dead now.
Man, you sound like a No Man's Sky commenter.
That does bring us to the end of the show. You can support us on Patreon or go to 302010.net again to comment on the episodes, to follow along with the notes. Or just chime in on what you were doing in perhaps any of these the date ranges that we talked about. This was December 30th through January 5th. This is the final time you will hear us talk about anything in 86, 96, and 06, which was the premise of the show when it launched back in January of 2016. Again, thanks to your efforts helping us unlock the show with on Patreon. And by unlock, I mean letting us eat and pay bills and do this.
Eat bills.
And eat bills. I was going to keep that joke going, but I'm out of steam, starving. So... we'll go out with some plugs as we normally do, and then we'll wrap the show up with the final birthdays of this year.
Yes. And the first birthdays of the next. Go to LaserTimePodcast.com. That's where this show and a bunch of the other shows live. The comments section, the archives. It's very easy to navigate. Talking Simpsons, Laser Time, and the show Vigigame Apocalypse. And again, for you patrons, we're supported almost entirely by Patreon, patreon.com/LaserTime. We do an exclusive show for everybody once a week, and we have an exclusive show just for 302010 fans, wrapping up the entirety of the previous 52 episodes.
Laser Time's Patreon is also the home of Cheap Popcast, the pro wrestling podcast. We will have an episode at the end of the year, which will be out at this point, where we talk about our favorite wrestling stuff of the year.
Oh, boy.
And if you like video games, there's Vigigame Apocalypse, and that's a fun show. Mm-hmm. And I am on Twitter if you want to talk classic movies at ListenaNerd.
And now, finally,
the
final Home Movies birthday song, which will introduce a conundrum that I'll get into for a second.
Oh.
But these are the 30th and 31st birthdays to round out the year.
Okay.
Tyrese Gibson, Ellie Goulding, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Eliza Dushku, Matt Lauer and Sean Hannity, Cy, Anthony Hopkins, Ben Kingsley, Joey McIntyre... That's it, because there's only 2 days of famous folks that I could recognize. Now the quiz. Born on December 31st, 1959.
Older than me.
He played Mark Twain in a play called Citizen Twain.
This is not Val Kilmer.
It is Val Kilmer.
God damn it.
Right.
It's if you live where we are, that is our targeted Facebook ad every single
really?
Second.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've never... Yeah.
He says, hi, I'm Val Kilmer, and I'll be playing Mark Twain.
Wow.
It's
yeah,
popped
okay.
up on my Facebook feed.
I
every
really wanted
seconds.
To win one of these this year.
He was also in Top Gun, Willow, Dr. Moreau, which we talked about this year.
Yep.
So this is the conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you've already done every birthday. So, do we continue this segment?
Death days are a tool.
Because what does change is that the date ranges will be all different, yeah. so the same right. names won't be bunched up, which means the quizzes won't be the same. And also, do you ever remember, when you watch
no.
Entertainment Tonight, at the end of every episode of Entertainment Tonight, celebrating a birthday, I never remember
oh, yeah,
a year later. Like, oh, right. So that's when Tyrese Gibson's birthday was. Like, I feel like we should just continue.
I got to win one of these, so we keep them going.
Well, guess what, Dave?
I've been sleeping on these, too, man.
A little quiet. But so getting into January 1st through 5th.
Oh. Lightning round.
Pocahontas. There's not a quiz, though, because...
That's all. I would extend the quiz.
Because the quiz, we already...
Pocahontas. Pocahontas. Is the answer about Pocahontas?
The answer was Val Kilmer.
Damn it.
But for what it's worth, Pocahontas and John Smith...
Share a birthday?
Yeah. Vern Troyer, Bobby Roode, a wrestler, J.D. Salinger, Cuba Gooding Jr., Kate Bosworth, Taye Diggs, Tia Carrere, Jack Hanna, Anna Lee, Mel Gibson, J.R.R. Tolkien, Thomas Bangalter of Daft Punk, Jim Ross, Sir Isaac Newton, Vanity, who died in 2016. While we were recording a show, probably. Michael Stipe, January Jones, Marilyn Manson, Bradley Cooper, Deadmau5, Diane Keaton, Clancy Brown, Hayao Miyazaki, Vinnie Jones, and Robert Duvall.
So that's how January Jones got her name.
Oh, hey, wow. We hope we didn't make that joke last year. But also, finally, the site, famousbirthdays.com, does rank by popularity of the name.
Ooh.
So anytime you click on a, you know, no, this is the number 13 Tyrese.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's the number one Tyrese. But for what it's worth, the number one most famous Brett, can you guess?
Brett Favre.
It is Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Can you guess the number one most famous Diana?
Princess Diana.
Princess Diana?
No.
Diana Some Ross. Of
Diana Ross.
Damn.
All right.
And
got him good.
Dave, I did Dave and David because you could go either way.
David Copperfield?
Dave and Chris make no sense at all. I'm actually upset. At
Copperfield?
No.
Duchovny?
No.
Never
guess it. So this is for Dave.
Super Dave?
Dave Franco.
Really?
Wow. All right.
The last famous Franco?
Yeah.
Yeah. And David is David Dobrik, a YouTube star. Who's ahead of David Beckham, by the way.
We are this close to being totally out of our fucking league to do a show like this.
Yeah.
That's the number one celebrity.
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris Kirkpatrick.
Chris Christopherson.
No.
No, that's a K.
That's a K.
Chris Columbus, the director and the explorer.
He's Christopher Columbus.
Oh, damn it.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth is in the top five.
Oh, hey.
But number one is Chris Brown.
We're so much alike.
Really? Who's ahead of Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans?
I guess he beat all of them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He sure did.
Sorry.
And then Christopher O'Fling, who's another star that I don't know, who's above Christopher Columbus and Christopher Eccleston and Christopher Lee. So I'm angry. We're going out with the theme to Kung Fu The Legend Continues.
Hey.
And we'll be back next week with the first fully 97, 87, 07 episode of the show's existence. We'll see you next time.